We know that certain people can be particularly susceptible to the coronavirus. For example, those who are immune compromised. But we don't know much yet about how the virus affects people who are pregnant and their babies. One can only imagine the concerns and anxieties with that. So today, we want to talk about it. Join the conversation. Are you or have you been pregnant during this pandemic? What's that been like for you? What have been your concerns and how are you managing them? Do you have a loved one who's pregnant, a spouse, a partner? What are your concerns? What questions do you have about life after you give birth, given the current situation? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Joining us today is Dr. Anjali Kaimal, maternal fetal medicine specialist and obstetrician gynecologist at Massachusetts General Hospital, where she's also the chief of the Division of Maternal Fetal Medicine. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
Anika Butler also joins us, the ideas editor for the Boston Globe. She recently wrote an op-ed about being pregnant during the coronavirus pandemic. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Anika, I'm going to start with a couple questions for you. You're due in June. How has it been so far?
Oh my goodness, it's been a roller coaster. Of course, we didn't really know anything about the coronavirus until February, early March, so things were great until then. And as I wrote about in my op-ed, in early March, I started to really get worried and panic as news spread that the virus was here in Boston. And so I've just been really worried and stressed about how it would affect not only giving birth, but our lives after that.
Anika, you wrote your op-ed in the Globe in March. And when one goes back and reads it now, it sounds like March. There were some things that you were focused on that maybe are a little bit differently now. But you were, as you say, really worried about whether you and your baby would be safe. Do you have the same worries now that you did when you wrote this in March? Do you have new worries? What are your concerns right now?
You know, that's a really great question. I actually feel a lot better about a lot of things now. And I'm very lucky. I am a journalist, so I can work from home. I'm able to have things delivered to my house. And so now that I'm here in my safe little bubble, I'm so much less worried about getting sick myself or, potentially exposing my baby to the coronavirus. So that those kinds of fears have gone away a bit, but I still am worried about what we're going to lose afterwards. I know the hospital where I'm giving birth is they've done this Mass General, they've done a lot to really prepare and make me feel comfortable about giving birth at the hospital. But once we get home, we won't have friends or family able to come by. We'll basically be on our own. There'll be no one to help us. We missed out on things like baby shower, maternity photos, small things. But, you know, going forward, you know, how much longer will we need to be socially isolated? What will that do for my child's development? What if she doesn't meet another adult until she's, 2 years old or 1 year old? Is that going to have long-term effects? And, will her grandparents be able to travel here at some point? So those are the things that I worry about more now.
Listeners, join the conversation. What concerns do you have? What questions do you have? Do you have close family or friends who are going through a pregnancy now? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Pull up a chair. Dr. Kaimal, let me invite you first to just respond to what you heard from Anika.
So I think, Anika was so eloquent in describing what I think has been all of our experience, right? It's been such a roller coaster during all of these times. And I think that we started off and we were very focused on some issues. And then now as things evolve, there are new things that come up and also things that we were worried about that we seem to be less concerned about, but then others that we know we need to put more attention towards. And so I agree. I think that, so much of what has changed is about the experience of being a resident of Boston, of being a part of a family, whether that family is closer or far away, of understanding who are the people that can support us. And I think for pregnant women, all of those questions are really important. And I felt a little sad to hear you say, that to give up on the baby shower and things like that, and that those are small things. I think, obviously pregnancy and birth are such an important part of our lives. And the way that experience has changed, even in those ways that are not us being ill or being at risk, like those things I think are really important. And I think also have implications kind of for mental health for all of us. So I think all of that really rings true with the things I'm hearing from the women that I'm taking care of. I'm glad to hear that you feel reassured by, I didn't know you were a Mass General patient until today. I'm glad to hear that you're reassured by the information we've given here. But I think there are lots of women who still do have questions about the course of their pregnancy and also their delivery. And so we're trying to get as much information to them as we can as we have it.
So Dr. Kimel, before I turn to calls, I do want to ask you just briefly, what do we know about how the virus affects pregnant women?
Yes. So this is obviously something that has been so rapidly evolving, not just about how it affects pregnant women, but how it affects the population in general. And I think back to, you know, as we were saying, March, when the thought was that we had, you know, about 80,000 people who had been infected in China, you know, things were just starting in Europe, and to now look at the situation with over 1 million people in the United States and how much that means that things are different. So I think we acknowledge that we have imperfect information and things are always evolving. I think so far what we've seen is that pregnant women seem to be at similar risk to the general population in terms of likelihood of getting coronavirus, and that the same kind of recommendations that we make for the general population to try and reduce the likelihood of infection work for pregnant ladies too. So all the things we were talking about, social distancing when we can, being able to wash our hands, being able to try to avoid, you know, touching surfaces and then touching your face, which is so hard to do. And so I think all of that has been reassuring to us to understand that women don't seem to be at more risk when they're pregnant. I think we're still trying to understand exactly how, if someone does get infected, how coronavirus affects them. It does seem just like in the regular population, when we have pregnant women who have other medical complications, diabetes, high blood pressure, that might put them at increased risk. The vast majority of women who get coronavirus when they're pregnant, similar to the regular population, have a relatively mild course or even asymptomatic. It's a very small percentage of people who need to be in the hospital and an even smaller percentage of people who need ICU level of care, but we are here to provide that care when it's needed. And then I think
the last question
is just that everyone wants to know, can my baby get infected? And so far, things have been very reassuring to say for pregnant women who have an infection during pregnancy, we don't think that that is a way that babies will get infected. So that's really good news.
All right. So Anika and Dr. Kimel, let's turn to the phones. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Kristen on the line from Burlington. Kristen, what's on your mind?
Hi. I am recently married, and my husband and I are hoping to start a family fairly soon. I'm wondering if it's worth trying to get pregnant now with this pandemic going on, or if we should kind of wait a few months and see how it goes, if it recedes at all.
Kristen, stay right there, because Anika, you actually talk about this in the piece you wrote in March.
What
I'm thinking about is you and your husband sort of trying to plan it out, thinking you'd planned it all out right, had the right calculation, and then feeling differently.
Exactly. Yeah. We got pregnant via IVF. And so there was definitely a lot of planning that went into it over a couple of years, actually. And we thought we'd considered every possible factor that we could in the timing and, you know, our lives. And we definitely just did not think about that there was a possibility of a pandemic happening that could affect our pregnancy. So I think I just feel now that you just really can't plan for everything. And, you know, I think you just have to do what's right, what feels right for you.
Kristen, is that what you mean? Is that the kind of thing you're thinking about when you ask that question?
Yeah, I guess so. Definitely just, you know, that thought of like, what would I possibly be putting myself and this future child through, you know, if I get pregnant during a pandemic versus during a non-pandemic time?
Yeah. And Dr. Kimel, is there anything else you'd add to that?
Yeah. So I think, you know, the idea that the time that is the right time to start a family is affected by so many different issues, I think, is definitely true. None of us, you know, could have ever predicted that the pandemic would be something that people would be dealing with. And I think that also means that while we don't expect that there's another event like this in the future, we don't know what the future holds. I think it's a really personal decision. In terms of the medical impact of coronavirus on pregnancy, I think, you know, the one thing is that at this point, we don't have a lot of information about, you know, ladies who are in the beginning part of pregnancy getting to delivery, because this has only been going on for a short period of time. And so while, like I said, we don't have anything to say that we are concerned about yet, I think we just do have imperfect information. And the same is true about what life is going to look like in 3 months or 6 months. And so I think that the way that those factors come into play in comparison to kind of where you are in your life and when it's time to start trying to have a baby, it's a complex interaction. And I think that's something, too, that if it's useful to talk to your doctors about, definitely that's something that we could certainly talk about based on individual circumstances.
I do have to say, I'm sorry, but it is really nice during this time of so much uncertainty to have something really positive to look forward to.
And I would say a lot of people feel that way. And certainly I feel that way when I'm on labor and delivery, that, you know, there's lots of things going on in the world, but that moment in that room is still that wonderful moment. So I think that's a great thing to point out.
Listeners, are there other questions that you have about choices about pregnancy, a pregnancy experience you're having now, being in the hospital during this time, the risks associated with birthing during this time? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Anika, I was struck by your having to forego the traditional baby shower. My children are in their late teens now, but I had some difficulties with my first pregnancy, couldn't travel home for my shower, and had a virtual baby shower actually at the time, which wound up being actually just an amazing experience because all the women who would have come to the shower instead wrote me long letters with the best advice no one had ever given them about parenting and having babies. So it's actually one of my fondest memories from my first pregnancy. So one, I hope that gives you some encouragement, but it also makes me want to ask you, what parts did you think you were going to get in this mothering experience during your pregnancy that you most are worried you won't get or miss that you aren't getting?
Well, I've had 2 virtual baby showers so far. I think there's going to be one more. So I have gotten to do that. And it was actually really great because the part of baby showers that I don't like are the games. So there were no games and more just celebrating. So that actually was really nice. but it would have been nice to have people close by to actually have that physical interaction. So I'm missing out on that. But there's just so much that is just so different from what I expected. We did a childbirth class online via Zoom, which was really weird. And infant child care class, you know, we were practicing changing diapers on a teddy bear because that was the closest thing we had to a model of a baby in our house. So, you know, we're hoping that these kinds of things are still going to prepare us. You know, maybe they will and maybe they won't, but it's just really different. And, you know, buying things for baby, it's, you know, I'm having to order them online and, you know, not really getting to go out. And so, I mean, they're not huge things. It's just really different from what I expected. But I think the thing that I feel like I'm missing most of all is just interacting with family and friends. And I know it's killing my sisters to not be able to see me while I'm pregnant and not to not be able to come right away when the baby is born. So that's really the hardest part and just so much different than what I had hoped and planned for.
And do you feel ready to give birth?
I am so ready. I've got 5 weeks left, so I'm about at that point where I'm like, okay, come on. But the giving birth, I do still worry a little bit. I mean, as I said before, I feel very comfortable about how Mass General is handling it. But my last doctor's appointment, I had to have my temperature taken, my name checked off a list and was given a mask to wear while I was there. And I think no one else is allowed there but patients. And so I believe my husband will be allowed to be with me when I give birth, but we'll both be wearing masks. And that will be, you know, if you've been wearing masks outside, you know, they're hot and I'm a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to imagine going through labor, which is already uncomfortable and hot, wearing a mask. And so that makes me a little bit worried. That'll be challenging, but I'm ready.
I'm glad to hear that. And Dr. Kaimal, we've just heard from Anika a little bit about what she already understands about what the experience will be like when she checks in the hospital, but that can be a black box for people. Maybe you can briefly just walk us through what should a woman expect when going in to deliver right now?
For sure. And I think, you know, one thing that's important is that different hospitals have taken different approaches to this. So one, you definitely, this is one of those conversations that's really important to have with your obstetrician or your physician or your midwife to say, you know, what should I expect? What are the things I should know? Are there things that I should do beforehand? And I think that that's a conversation that we're hoping that we are initiating with women, but certainly as you're coming into those prenatal appointments or having a virtual visit, which is how we're doing some prenatal appointments, those are good questions to ask. So it is just as we were discussing that we're trying to really make sure that the hospital is as safe a place for the people who are here delivering babies as possible. And so part of that is that we are having everybody wear a mask. And the rest of the hospital, there are not visitors that are allowed in the hospital other than for very special circumstances, but birth is a special circumstance. And so you have one visitor who's with you. That person also wears a mask. So one thing is that we ask both the woman who's coming in and then also the partner or other support person if they're having any symptoms. And so that kind of screening happens as you're coming into the hospital. For women who have symptoms, of course, we're just finding that out and ready to take care of them. There are many hospitals in the Boston area, ours included, that actually are testing every woman when they come into labor and delivery to find out whether they have coronavirus or not. And that's really to be able to make sure we're giving them and their baby the best care possible. For the partners or the other support people, they just get asked the questions about symptoms. As long as they're not having symptoms, then they come in and they're here for the time of the delivery. And like I said, I think one of the things that for me, as someone who obviously got into this loving delivering babies, I love the fact that there's so much of the labor floor that is very much the same. Now, for a first-time mom, that won't mean much to you because you haven't been there before. So, but a lot of the ways that things happen on labor and delivery are the same. We're trying to figure out how best to move forward with delivery. We're making sure mom's okay. We're making sure baby's okay. And we have that support person there at the bedside. And then the nurses and doctors are there to answer any questions along the way. So I think once we get past that sort of initial screening part, with the exception of having the masks on, the rest of labor and delivery is very much similar to what it is in when we're not in the middle of something like this.
And is the stay after delivery the same as it would have been before, or has that changed?
It depends on what's going on for the mom and the baby, as always. So we have had many women who are interested in an earlier discharge than what we would usually do, and we've been supporting that to try and, again, help to get people home into a safe environment. But that depends on the fact that the mom and the baby are doing okay. And we actually, early medical discharge was something that we had in the past as well. I think it's just more utilized now because people want to get home. And so depending on whether you had a vaginal delivery or a C-section and also whether there are any other medical complications, then we sort of assess when both mom and baby are ready to go home. But I would say a much higher percentage of women than usual are choosing to go home kind of on the first day after a vaginal delivery, and then either, which normally they would stay for 2 days, or on the second or third day after a C-section. And that, again, is assuming that everything is going well and we have kind of everything in place for mom and baby to be safe at home.
So we have a little more than a minute left. So I want to ask each of you, and Anika, I'll turn to you on this first. Do you have any advice or words of encouragement for expectant mothers right now?
Well, what I've been trying to do is to just tune out as much negative thoughts as I can and focus on the positive. And even though there's so much uncertainty right now and so much that is unknown, just focusing on the things that I can control, which is staying inside and staying safe and staying healthy, and just thinking about the future and looking forward to my new daughter. No matter what else is going on in the world, we're going to be welcoming a new little life. And so that gives me a lot of hope and encouragement and good feeling, even when I'm feeling worried about everything else.
And actually, Dr. Kimel, no disrespect, but that was a lovely piece of advice and we're short on clock. So I'm going to actually end it there. That was Anika Butler, ideas editor for the Boston Globe, who recently wrote an op-ed about being pregnant during the pandemic. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Anjali Kimel, maternal fetal medicine specialist and obstetrician gynecologist at Mass General Hospital. I really appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks so much for inviting me.